The biggest idiot can ask questions the smartest man cannot answer. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, the University of Philosophy, the Absolute Monastery here in Campo, California, bringing you the Absolute Philosopher. The biggest idiot can ask questions the smartest man cannot answer. I have a very dear friend in Switzerland who is interested in improving her ability to think and talk and act and basically just to feel better about herself, to feel that she is really a competent, confident, worthwhile person. And so I told her, you know, if you would go to the university here in Bern and you would attend a class on philosophy, just attend, whether it's the beginning class or the middle class or anything, it doesn't matter. And as you go in there, it's not that you want to read the books. You can read the books if you like, but it's a matter that you ask questions. Now, to ask questions means that you must listen. So when they're talking and they say that Kant said this or Schopenhauer said this, you would say to them something like, on what basis did they make their statements? On what basis did they come to their conclusions? And the people who are listening to you would say, wow, what a remarkable response. What a remarkable question. Well, now, Kant came to his conclusions based upon his own growing up years, his own life experiences, his own education, and also some of the hard knocks that he went through. Schopenhauer, on the other hand, looked from a little different point of view and looked more to the divine within him. But each one of them based their thinking upon their own inner self. Now, you don't have to know all that. You don't have to know all that, and besides which, that information is totally unimportant. However, it is important for you to know how to ask the right questions. And to ask the right questions, you listen. I have people counseling with me all the time on very profound subjects and very profound ideas that have boggled their minds over the years. And they're brilliant people. They're remarkable people, in fact. And I'm honored that they do me the honor of coming to me to ask questions about what they think. And they're really quite smart because they come to me because they know that I have been quite successful in dealing with people from all walks of life, from the top to the bottom. All walks of life who are great thinkers and who hardly think at all. And as I talk to these people, I am not interested in my point of view. I am not interested in telling them what I believe or telling them what they should believe. My goodness, that's the farthest thing I want to do. I listen to them. And then I ask them questions about what they tell me about their life. Of course, you have to know what you're talking about a little bit. And when I ask them questions, they answer me, and I listen to the answers. And I'll say to them, now, based upon what you have said to me, how can you come to the conclusion that the world is in bad shape? You seem to have indicated to me a lot of very beautiful things about the world. Well, what do you mean? And then you've got to remember what they said. Well, you said that science is coming up with newer and newer things to help accomplish the goals that history would have liked to have had, stopping diseases and viruses and infections that are bothering human race and bringing about health and harmony and wholeness. And philosophy and psychology is going about the idea of bringing about balance in human beings. And all these other things. And you see, you don't have to know a lot to ask questions, but you do have to listen. And so I listen. That's why we can make the statement, the biggest idiot can ask questions the smartest man cannot answer. Now, the biggest idiot asks a question not because he's an idiot, but because he finds the question ludicrous. He finds the question without an answer. Why is the world round? Well, we can say the world is round because it's a spin-off of a planet. It's a spin-off of some other extraterrestrial object that maybe the sun, and parts of it form the various planetary system that we have, and science will go about proving this to you. And of course, they don't really believe it themselves, because they're up there looking for rocks that indicate that the rocks on Earth and the rocks on the planets, the moons and what have you, are the same. And then they try to read by their long-distance calculators what is going on the sun, and how the various radiations show that there's copper and there's zinc and there's various other minerals there, the same as there are here on Earth, sort of going along with the idea that perhaps the Earth is a little piece of molten metal that came off of the sun itself, and by spinning and spinning and spinning became round, and in becoming round it became a planet like we have. But what about the asteroids? They're not round. They are sort of angular, maybe rectangular, and they're speeding through space, and they're not spinning. Why did we spin, and why didn't they spin? Well, now, see, these are questions that the smartest man perhaps cannot answer, and perhaps he can. But if he answers it, he is answering it from his observations, he is answering it from his understanding, he is answering it from whatever he believes about himself. Now, you can ask questions from whatever you believe about yourself. You might say, now, God created the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested, and God is a he, and all these things. And people will say, well, that's okay. That's your religious belief, and it doesn't have to make sense. Well, who says the Big Bang Theory is a reality? Who says the Big Bang Theory is something that actually happened? Well, that's your belief, and you have a right to your conviction, and one day they might prove it right and might prove it wrong. One day a man might become aware of the fact that there was indeed a God presence that created all things and brought forth all things, whether it was 7 days or not, that was interesting, 6 days. But the thing is, why? We ask these questions merely out of intellectual imagination, out of wonderment, out of thinking. Not that they have to come up with an answer, not that the answer has to be correct, but that the answer is great. I like the remark a number of scientists have made about our dear friend Albert Einstein. And they concluded, as they did in the Discovery magazine this month, they said, many of the world's greatest, and that's most profound scientists, would like to think, or have been able to think, of the conclusions that Einstein came to, which were considered his failures. Now, isn't that a brash statement? My goodness. The greatest scientists of the world would like to have the intellectual acumen, the intellectual alertness, awareness, intuitiveness that Einstein had in even his failures. Now, as time goes on, we may find that Einstein's failures were far from failures. They were based upon a point of view which has not yet been revealed or not yet been concluded, but it may, and it may not. It doesn't matter. That's why we can say, the biggest idiot can ask questions the smartest man cannot answer. And so I told my friend, go to the Bern University, University of Switzerland there, and take a course in philosophy, and just listen with all your ears, with all your eyes, with all your awareness, and ask questions of them that are just the common housewife type question, the common person on the street type question, and watch them wiggle. Not that you're doing it to make them wiggle, but to conclude to yourself that you have far more brilliance in yourself than you've ever given yourself credit for. And if we will do this, my goodness, what miracles will take place in our life. What wonderment will happen in our world. What magic will come into our life, because we now know that we know that we know things we had never realized we knew and are not even sure now that we know what we knew. Play the game. It's a lot of fun. Be a magic person. The biggest idiot can ask questions the smartest man cannot answer. And the absolute philosopher just rolls with the punches and has the time of his life. Have a lovely evening, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you. I see you, the magic person. of the absolute philosopher of life living now.